As often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of Him. If you need healing in your body this morning, it's available to you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You reach out your faith, tap into His grace, because by His stripes you were healed. And that deserves praise. Can you say amen?
Yes.
And that blood has washed you. Hallelujah. Cleansed you. There's no guilt, no shame. Righteousness, you've been made righteous, and understand righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without a sense of guilt, condemnation, or inferiority. As though sin had never existed in your life. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good to us. Apostle Paul, just read this to you just so you can put it in the text of its setting. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat. This is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. For as often, or and after the same manner, He took the cup and He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. Do this as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He comes." Colossians chapter 1. I'll just put this in the atmosphere for you. Verse 20, it says, "And having made peace to harmonize through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth, things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you, church, holy, unblameable, unprovable in His sight." The New Century Version says, "But now God has made you His friends again. He did this through Christ's death in the body so that He might bring you into God's presence as people who are holy, with no wrong, and with nothing of which God can judge you guilty." One of the English versions says it this way, "But His Son became a human and died. So God made peace with you, and now He lets you stand in His presence as people who are holy, faultless, and innocent." Oh, okay. I just want to encourage you, as we're not here to judge each other. We can judge ourselves.
Amen.
Thank God for 1 John 1:9. We confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. All of Jesus. So as often as we eat, I'll encourage you to, your heart's prepared. If you need healing in your body, receive it.
Amen.
That body was broken for you. Those stripes were laced on His back for you. He bore it. Take and eat, my brother and sister, in the name of Jesus. As often as you drink the cup, do it in remembrance of Him. Because He's coming back. and he sanctified you. You're holy in his eyes. You're righteous before him. There's no guilt, no shame, no condemnation, because that blood is full of power. So take and drink, my brother and sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, you didn't, sweetie. Well, let me get you one. Oh, I'm so sorry. Father, we thank you for this precious body, for these men and women that you've anointed, called. You've chosen and selected them for this season of time. Lord God, that your hand rests upon them, that your Spirit has filled them. Holy Spirit, you're their teacher, you're their guide, they're the revelator, the comforter, the counselor. I'm asking you to fill and flood each one of their hearts and their lives, each and every step of the way as they move forward in this season of time. That the revelations that are needed in this day and this hour for each one, for the families here, for businesses here, for the young people here, for widows here, for the men and women of God. I call upon that spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you that will visit them in greater waves, greater manifestations of truth. That they will see, they will know, and they will understand truth so that they can walk in the fullness of what you've called them for in the hour ahead. Lord, I thank you for Psalm 91, that you've given your angels charge over them to protect them and keep them in all their ways, and no harm will come against them, no evil will befall them, and no plague come near their dwelling. Lord, with long life you'll satisfy them and show them your great salvation. Lord, I speak that blessing of Psalm 91 over this great body, over these men and women, over the families, the young people, as well as us older ones. And Lord, that you show yourself strong, that you strengthen us with might by your Spirit, that you equip us by the revelation that is falling, that is manifesting, that is flooding our hearts and lives in this day and this hour. I thank you, Lord, we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that our ears have been freshly anointed, our eyes have been freshly anointed, so we will see and we will hear so that we can do. Lord, I thank you for the ability that you've given us to do the Word of God and to walk worthy of you all the days of our life. Lord, I bless you for this great church. I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I need to make an announcement so I don't offend you. When that clock says 12, I have to leave. Okay, just so you know that, all right? And don't think that I'm upset, okay? Or maybe if you're upset, maybe I'll need to leave. I understand that. But we have two brothers that are being ordained this evening up in Titusville, Pennsylvania, which is about a 5.5, depends our trip, depends on how much weight I put on my right boot. But anyhow, I told them that I would be there, and it starts at 6 o'clock, so I thought if I get to sneak out of here at 12, if you guys would give me that much grace, I would appreciate it. And I don't know if Shane in the building. All right. At that time, I'll ask Shane to come up, and there'll be announcements, I'm certain, and he'll put his smiling face on you and let you go home, okay? So just so you know, because I know I'm going to stop probably in the middle of a sentence, and I'll try to pick up at another time if God allows me to. I have communicated with your granddad, Brother Dale Armstrong, and I thought maybe we'd see him this week, but he is very, very busy. Please keep your prayers going on him. Things are very much in the process of change in what God has called him to, but I think you'll see him soon. And you know, you'll just have to put up with me another day, all right? So I hope I haven't wore you out, all right? I know I love you, and I'm for you, church. Glory to God. So to be revived in righteousness, we understand that in Psalm 34, verse 17, it says, "The righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of a few of their problems." Does your Bible say all? Well, you do a word search on that, and I do think you'll probably come to the conclusion that means all. Amen. And then Proverbs 10:24 says, "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted." Oh, glory to God. The New Jerusalem Bible says it this way, "What the upright desires comes to him as a present." If you remember a few weeks ago, God gave me a visual of a Christmas tree with a whole bunch of presents under it. And he says, it's time they start being unwrapped, that he has things for his people for this season of time that they need to enjoy and receive the gifts that he has for them. Now, I realize that some of those gifts you've received to some degree over the years, and if you served the Lord and as you walked with him. But I believe there's a depth of even the truths that we need or had know. I believe this is one of them, where God wants to unfold even more to a greater depth of understanding for you individually, for us corporately, so that we could reign in this life. Can you say amen? So one of those gifts under that tree, I believe, is the gift of righteousness, which it is. And he says, what the upright desires comes to him as a present. Say, I like presents, Lord. My name isn't Jimmy. It might be, but mine isn't. But I'll take all you can give me. How's that, huh? So I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 54, a very familiar passage with you, I'm certain. I know we quote this quite often. But if we look at it in a fuller setting here in Isaiah 54, verse 14, it says, "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you." That's for you and me. So as I take this into the setting of its text, Isaiah 54, verse 11 through 17, it says, "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempests and not comforted, behold, I lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of gates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stone. And all," say all, "thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of them." Okay, "In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against me shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created a smith that bloweth the coals into the fire and bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created a waster to destroy. No weapon, say no weapon. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servant. Say, I'm a servant, but I'm also a child or a son of God.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. You got a new and better covenant than this. Oh, glory to God. It says here, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. The Amplified says it in verse 14, you shall establish yourselves in righteousness, rightness, in conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. Hallelujah! Yeah! I'm excited. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry about it. Glory to God. We got a good, good God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. He overwhelms me quite often. And there's just times that if I don't shout, I'll just get all bottled up. And I'm not getting all bottled up. I'm going to keep it pouring out. How about you? Amen? So he says, in rightness and conformity with God's will and order, you shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. So to be established in righteousness, you and I know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We understand that we're the ambassadors of this day and this hour. We understand that, you know, you and I are new creations in Christ. We understand that he became our sin who knew no sin so that we could become righteous through what he did. Say, it's all about him.
It's all about
him. Amen. So are we going to receive that? Or are we going to walk in guilt and shame, condemnation and pain? Are we going to let the devil lie to us? Are we going to try to live in the past? Or are we going to step in through the threshold of the now of what God has created you for? And I believe he's created you to walk in the fullness, to walk in the Spirit, not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, to walk and to live in the Spirit in this day and this hour. I believe he's created you and me to please him by our faith, because we're men and women of faith. We understand that our faith is what overcomes the world. We understand that we don't need to be distracted in this day and this hour, that he has given us the ability to look unto Jesus, who authorized it and who will finish it, and he doesn't quit in the middle. I believe that your footsteps have been ordered. I believe that the hand of God is upon you. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to take you into your purpose, into your destiny, to fulfill all that he created you for. And I want you to understand, I believe there's so much more in store for you, for God's people, for this house. Can you say amen to that? So as we look at being established in righteousness, we know we'll be far from oppression, we won't fear, and terror shall not come near us. To be established in the Hebrew, it's K-O-O-N, kun, but it also says here, it says to be erect, to stand perpendicular, to be made ready, right, stable, secure, enduring. The Greek in that would mean strengthened, stand set up, determined. The basic sense is to make fast what already exists, or to make firm, confirm, make sure. The cause, or to make stand, to place or to set. Now, Mr. Webster says it this way in 1828. I like to go back to him. He says here, he says, to settle or fix what is wavering, doubtful or weak, to confirm, to put on a firm basis, to set up, to put onto a favorable position, to gain full acceptance, to put beyond doubt. to put beyond doubt. Aren't you glad that you and I could come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence? That this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to waver. The Bible teaches us in the book of James that, you know, if you're going to waver, it's up to us to encourage one another. If you're going to waver, I can't let you think that you'll receive anything of the Lord. That's pretty hard. So we need to set our mind on truth. We need to understand that His Word is absolutely truth. We have to understand that that Word will not return void. We have to understand that faith always comes to us by hearing the Word of God, and that you and I have faith, but if we don't put our faith to work, it's basically of no value. Oh, that's better preaching than you're shouting in this house. Hallelujah. Amen. I must have hit a nerve. Okay. So, it says here, it says, you're far from oppression. Say, I am far from oppression. I'm righteous in Christ. Oppression means distress, pressure, injury, that which causes hardship and trouble. As a form of mistreatment. Oppression can be personal, political, or military. Mr. Webster says, the state of being overburdened. I know that's never happened to anyone here, but maybe you know somebody that has been. Misery, hardship, calamity, depression, dullness of spirit, a sense of heaviness or weight, overpowering, overwhelming, as oppressive grief or woe. You shall not fear. Say, I will not fear. Fear is to be afraid, to be frightened, intimidated, a state of feeling great distress, of deep concern or pain, unfavorable circumstances. Mr. Webster again says, a painful emotion or passion excited by expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. And then he says, anxiety. There was a great preacher here this morning. King James says, be careful for nothing, but I believe that New King James Bible that he uses might say, be anxious for nothing. Have you ever heard that scripture before?
Yes.
How much is nothing? Huh. Thank God you and I could cast our care upon the Lord, for He cares for us. So, you shall not fear, and part of fear is being anxious, or you're living in anxiety. You know 2 Timothy 1:7, it says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power of love, and what kind of mind? A sound, disciplined mind. That's the mind you have. Take ownership. Those are those presents under that tree. If you haven't received them yet, start unwrapping. Terror shall not come near you. It's terror means ruin, destruction, demolishing, undoing. A ruin of a person's state from health and peace to a life of despair, and so experience hardships. A state of fear, dismay, a state of anxiety. Huh. Mr. Webster says extreme fear, violent dread. Fear that agitates the body and mind. You know, fear will kill you. Fear will make you sick. Fear will take your peace. Thank God we do not have a spirit of fear. That which may excite or dread the cause of extreme fear, the threatening of wicked men. See, in righteousness, you and I can be established, and if we're not solid in it, we have the ability to get oppressed, we have the ability to fear, and we have the ability to let terror take us out. But we don't have to, because we're people of the Word, We're people of faith, and you and I know how to do the word and to accomplish that what he's called us to do, to live with no fear, to understand that we don't have to put up with oppression or depression. It has no right on us. It is a spirit. It has no right on you. You draw nigh to God. He draws nigh to you. You resist the devil, and you need to see certain things in your life. That's a devil. Because if you're going to pet it like it's a little friendly dog, it's going to bite you. And you don't need to be bitten this day and hour. Can you shout amen? So the righteous cry out. The Lord hears them, delivers them out of all their problems. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. There again in Proverbs 10:24. I want to say this as I close. I'd like you to go to Romans chapter 5. I know you know this passage, but I want to leave it with you. Because I believe this is part of the call on this house. Gifts from God must always be received by faith. Remember that. The same way you receive Jesus is the same way you receive what he offers. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I take it. I receive it. So in Romans 5:17, we understand that righteousness is a gift from God. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more they which receive. Say receive. Say, I am an excellent receiver. Say, I am an excellent receiver. Say that again. I am an excellent receiver. Say it one more time. I am an excellent receiver. See, you're a good receiver, man. I am really good at this. I am an excellent receiver. Me too. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? You know, we make so many things so difficult by trying to get so deep into a simplicity of the gospel that it's like, how do you receive that? Right there, you just watch these young people receive. I take it. It's mine. Hallelujah. It's no longer Bob's. Glory to God. Amen. So he says here, for by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, say abundance of grace. Remember, grace is multiplied to you and me through the knowledge of God. And of the gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life, abundant life center through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through the one man's righteousness, or righteous acts, the free gift came upon all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, thank you, Adam, so also by the man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Moreover, the law entered into the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more, so that as sin reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through what? Righteousness. To eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, I want to make this statement as I close and I ask Shane to come up and close the service. If I can encourage you individually, as families, as as a great body of believers, that much has been given. You guys carry such a depth of revelation, of wisdom, understanding. Don't take for granted what you have and what you carry. It's very, very much needed in the world that we live in. And I believe you're going to have opportunities to share, to minister, to testify. I believe God's healing power wants to flow like a river through this church. I know we tried to start the motor. The motor's not going too strong yet, but we're going to keep her running, I believe. I'm going to encourage Brother Dale when he gets here to put the hammer down to the healing ministry of this house. I believe that's one of the keys to bringing in the harvest of this day and hour. And I'm not saying that you're not ministering to people. I'm not saying that you're not sharing your faith. I'm not saying that you're not laying hands on the sick. I'm not saying that you're not sharing the truth. I believe you are. But I believe there needs to be an expression of power and demonstration that is much greater than we've seen today. And what I mean by that, Jesus gave you and me a promise, and I believe that's something we need to unwrap even more, because there's still power in the preaching of the cross, and by the power of demonstration of the gospel, it's still good news. And we understand that you and I are the ambassadors, and we're the ones that are called to represent Him, and part of our representation is to share our faith, is to not be ashamed of the gospel, neither of the name that is above every name. And Jesus said, these works and what? Greater works shall who do? We. Who was He talking to? He was talking to believers. Who's He talking to today? He's talking to you and me, because we are believers. Understand, by His grace, when we stand righteous, we can reign, we can rule, and we can demonstrate. Take your position and reign, church. For if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life. Settle in your hearts who you are in Christ, and act it out every day. Rise up, man of God, woman of God. Rise up, because the glory of God's upon you. The Spirit of God's within you. And you've been endued with power from on high to be something that we can't be in the flesh. And that's a witness of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of glory. The same glory that was on Him is on you. Don't underestimate that. As you walk upright, you don't cower down, you don't let fear, oppression, terror distract you, because it's all around us. I hate to tell you this, there's probably more to come throughout the nations. We are here, but you and I were born for this day. That's why this truth has got to be established in us to a greater degree, because winds will blow, storms will come. But glory to God, your house is built on the best thing that I know, and that's the solid rock of Jesus. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me pray for you. Father, I bless you for Abundant Life Center. I bless you for this great house, these precious, precious brothers and sisters of mine. I thank you for the Spirit of grace that rests upon them. I thank you, Lord God, for the stirring of the Holy Spirit within them. Lord, that they'll walk in days of greater favor than they've ever seen before. That you'll open up doors to them that have not been opened before. That you'll give them light, illumination, to be able to speak truth in the midst of darkness. And Lord, that you'll use them in such unique ways to bring in the harvest of this day and hour, to bring those that are stuck in sin, stuck in disease, stuck in the pits of hell. Lord, that you will use them to populate heaven and to plunder hell each and every day. Father, I bless this church in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to be a part of their lives in this season. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you the increase of the revelation that will be demonstrated in their lives in the days that they are stepping into, that they will stand justified in greater peace, in greater strength, in the security of who they are in you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Quickening, 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 quickening times. Times where you'll walk and all of a sudden things will quicken to you. All of a sudden the lights will come on. All of a sudden the truth that you were looking for will be right there before you. Yes, you'll make footsteps and you'll go forward, and some will even stumble and fall. But once they get up, I will quicken them and reveal to them so that it doesn't happen again. Know that I don't quit on my children. Know that I will continually pick them up. And I will continually pursue them so that they will know me and they will come to know the power of my resurrection. That they will come to know and to understand that my hand rests upon them, that I have strength available to them through my grace so that they can do that what I call them to do, and it won't be a work of the flesh. It will be a work of my spirit as they yield to me, as they understand that I can strengthen them, I can equip them, I can give them wisdom, and I can show them the way to go. So when they go in the footsteps that I order, they'll find out that things will go much, much much better in the days that lie ahead. Even though they see destruction, they see famine, they see the things and the end time results, but they will be able to walk underneath my shadow, living in my presence, and fulfill or being fulfilled by the fullness of who I am. Because joy unspeakable and full of glory belong to you, saith the Lord. Yeah.